This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
The New Japan Purocast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com. All right, everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday afternoon, August 13th, at the time that we are recording this. And Damon, we just got done watching what I consider to be the greatest G1 Climax final match of all time. Kenny Omega versus Tetsuya Naito from the finals earlier this morning at a sold-out Sumo Hall, I believe. I know they did great business over the weekend, but we're going to be reviewing this entire show from top to bottom today, as well as weaving our thoughts from the past two nights in and out. Damon, how do you feel about this main event?
Well, I'm sleepy right now. I stayed up and watched this dog live, and so it was like started at 2 a.m. on the East Coast. So a little sleepy, but wired, ready, like tired, but full of energy, right? So that's the best Damon. That's the Damon the kids love at home. You know, just a little loopy from lack of sleep, but all hopped up on caffeine. That's their favorite. Colin, what a joy. What a fucking pleasure this has been, right? I mean, I can barely put into words, even though I do a podcast, how much pleasure these past couple of weeks have been watching this brand of professional wrestling. The finals was everything and more, right? The entire show was a very good show. Even though on paper, when they announced the lineup, there were a lot of grumblings with all those tag matches, right?
Well, as always, that's always the case.
Yeah, I mean, but it seemed like there was an extra amount, right? Then they just jam-packed everybody they could on these shows. The crowds have been tremendous for G1 this year. Jam-packed. Gates blowing out last year, which is fantastic for business. They're doing something right. And the match quality is hands down the best in the world, and I can't get enough. I'm gonna miss it. This is like this high that you have right now, everyone, coming off of these shows, and again the semifinals, the finals, and even the show before that. It's amazing. You know, you wake up in the morning and it's just like, oh, so much greatness just waiting for you. Now it's kind of like, oh, all right, that's gone. You don't know what you got till it's gone, Colin.
A
band would sing that you are fond of.
Cinderella. You know, they play them nonstop on Hair Nation, by the way, on SiriusXM.
I've heard a lot of Britney Fox. I'm not going to lie. And I'm never really a massive Britney Fox fan. But I was listening to a couple tunes, and I'm just like, oh, this is fucking great. Like, this is great. Yeah, every time I see my – I turn on that it's Britney Fox's on, and I have a good laugh. Anywho, Colin –
very bittersweet moment this final, as you were saying. I mean, the G1 Climax, people look forward to this, you know, and people kind of base their summers around this, really, and it becomes sort of a routine to get up and watch the G1 show from that day. So it's very bittersweet when it's all said and done. But man, like you were alluding to earlier, we have seen professional wrestling on another level. And what's crazy is that 2017 for New Japan, I mean, after the Dome, like, come April, I think we were talking like, hey, how about this year? This year has just been unbelievable. And now, after all of the amazing bouts that we have seen throughout the G1 Climax this year, I don't even think that there's an argument anymore that 2017 has just been the best for bell-to-bell in-ring match quality.
Yeah. And I know people who have lived it, you know, would talk the 90s All Japan and the 89 WCW and even years before that, you know, the 86s, 80s in New Japan. I can't tell you that you're wrong. I absolutely agree. You know, you look at Okada and the year that he's had. I don't want to. I'm saying he's a shoo-in for Wrestler of the Year, and I say that with full acknowledgement of what Kenny Omega has done this year, which has been just fucking outstanding. But I think Okada has had arguably the greatest year any single pro wrestler has ever had when it comes to match quality.
I'm not going to argue with that.
And think about what I'm saying right there. Like, take Flair's best year. Take Shawn Michaels' best year. Take Kenta Kobashi's best year. Take Mitsuharu Misawa's best year. Stan Hansen's best year. I don't name the fucking guy. Ricky Choshu's best year. Colin, take Hiroshi Tanahashi's best year.
Yeah, it's true.
I think this year Okada is a sizable distance away from every one of those legends that I named. He's having what do the kids call it? A goat?
Yeah,
greatest of all time.
That's the goat.
And I know people are gun shy to say something like that in the sense of, don't trust me, I'm not like this maverick that's going out and on.
Well, we are pretty quick to throw 4 stars around, Damon. I don't know if you know.
We throw them around like they're candy.
Yeah,
like we're on a fucking fire truck in a parade.
And you're the grand poobah.
Hey, I'm the grand marshal. Whatever. People can say that, but this is help me, because I just named some names. If there's anybody I missed, by all means, let me know. I kind of lived through it. I don't think there's anybody that can top this year when it comes to the performance that this guy has had. And again, we said it before. He's a young guy. I don't even think he's at his peak physically. I don't think he's at his peak professionally. And this is the fucking year you get.
Okada's not even 30 years old yet. He's still 29. Think about that.
Barring an injury, and I hate to say this, you cannot work that fucking style consistently and not get injured.
No, and that neck looks jacked up.
It has to be, right? So, okay, we're not going to say this is going to be a 3-year run of this. I say that now, but who knows? But I mean, I just can't possibly fathom it just physically. Like I think about the year that Okada has, I don't even put it in like a professional wrestling world kind of year. I put it in like other sports, and I think about other sports and like the beatings that like a professional American football player would have, like a running back. That's the only real position I could really think of, like a running back that would take the brutal hits and the constant movement but even like a running back doesn't have. I don't think a running back could do physically what Okada does, right? The physical nature of what he does, I really don't.
No, night in and night out, absolutely right. Not.
Right, and you know, maybe a hockey player just with the speed and the amount of hitting, but even then, it's kind of like, okay, I don't know if the impact that it takes on the body is the same. But that's where I'm at with Okada. I'm comparing him to other professional athletes at this point that have had great years. Because I'm sorry, I don't think there's a professional wrestler modern that has had a year that he's had. I really don't. And New Japan as a whole. I don't know how the fuck we're going to do Match of the Year, Colin. I don't know how the fuck we're going to do Match of the Year.
I was just thinking about this yesterday. We're going to have to leave some matches out that maybe were Match of the Year for some people. I mean, we're going to have to really whittle this down to 20 solid nominees.
And here's my fear. The trilogy, it's not the most creative name, but I think we came up with the fucking trilogy, not for nothing.
I think so.
But the trilogy, how can you choose between one of those three? You know what I mean? Like a five, a six, and a six and a half. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? How do you? I'm serious, Colin. I'm throwing it out here. Now, this is maybe a production kind of thing, but the trilogy is going to have to stand on its own. Like, the trilogy will be the match of the year, if that's possible, right? Like, the trilogy, because...
So you're saying make those three matches one nominee, essentially.
One nominee, the trilogy. Because how can they be separate at this point?
Well, here's the thing, though. I think that each match had a very distinctive flavor, because after that Dome match, once the rematch at Dominion was coming up, people were asking the question, well, what more could they really do? I mean, there's no way that this match at Dominion is going to be able to top the one at the Dome. And in a lot of people's minds, it did. I mean, they went to an hour draw, and now this time they had 30 minutes they had to get this thing done in, and it started out just on fire right out of the gate. So they did something different in each of these matches. So I'm not sure at this moment if I'm behind grouping them all together. We're going to have to flesh that one out off the air.
But I think that's a discussion point. You know what I mean? I really do.
Sure.
Because to me, they kind of go hand in hand with each other. And as strange as it sounds, and we could start here, Colin, if you want. That match, it really felt like we just got in a time machine, like somebody had the fucking TARDIS, and we just went back in time.
Or DeLorean, or whatever
time travel method you prefer. A fucking time portal from, what's it, Rick and Morty? Oh, such a good
I know everybody watches that show. I don't watch it.
Watch it. I'm telling you, watch it. You'll love it.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it right now. And by the way, Rick Sanchez is my fucking spirit animal. I'll just say that right now. I can't think of anybody that is more me than that motherfucker. Okay. I think somebody really took my life story and wrote a cartoon around it. That's what I feel. All right. Time travel, blah blah blah. The match felt like the time limit expired, and then fucking Tatsumi Fujinami got into the ring and announced that, well, we're going to go an extra 20 minutes. You know what I mean? And they picked up right where they left off. That's really what it felt like. There was no – like the bell rang and boom, we're going right to fucking town.
Yeah, it felt like they resumed a match just like you just said. Like the time limit expired and then they just picked up right where they left off. That's exactly what it felt like. That's what I thought of as well.
And that's great. Like I thought that was exactly what they needed. And again, the story of that match being that Omega, he had to finish off Okada, which he hadn't been able to do in 30 minutes. He had to finish him off in 30 minutes. Now, the other side of the coin is Okada at this point is a fucking battered, beaten man. Like he's been through hell in this G1. That Suzuki match, holy fuck balls.
That's my favorite match of the tournament, by the way.
I love that match. It's not my favorite match, but it's right up there. It's probably in the top three or four. Let's put it that way. He just got his ass kicked.
That was a fight.
It was a fight. And that's the Suzuki. Oh, we just love and crave, isn't it? Isn't that the Suzuki that you just fucking love? The guy who's just a maniac who will tee off on someone's fucking face like that for 15 minutes, it felt like.
So in other words, not the Suzuki that's getting wrapped up in trainer tape like a mummy. Oh, my God. Damon, no more Yano in the G1.
I know.
If you want to give guys a night off, if you want to put someone in there where they can kind of just chill out with, put fucking Yujiro in there.
Yeah. You're over that, right? Over the turnbuckles being ripped off.
You can have a night off with Yujiro.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to have a night off with Yujiro?
I'll tell you what, that sounds like a night off. Might be the fucking most exercise I get in 2 weeks. You kidding me? I hear you. And that is maddening. You know, that a guy like Suzuki who took it to the limit to Okada.
A legit badass.
A legit badass.
King of Pancrase.
And will tune a motherfucker up in a minute. Then struggles to get a win over Yano. You know what I mean? And he didn't, you know?
It's so hard to suspend your disbelief when you have shit like that going on against a guy like Minoru Suzuki. It's very difficult for me anyway.
It is tough to swallow. And again, the nonsense, the fucking outside interference, the shenanigans that would be needed to beat a Yano. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, and I know the idea is that Yano is this wild card and he dictates the flow of a match. And
you can have plenty of other wild cards in there.
Yeah. I find it a little hard to swallow that Suzuki can't fucking take control over that situation and get it done. That being said, okay, minor quibble, minor fucking issue, but I know we're all over the place again. So, but yeah, that Okada fucking Omega match, man. What we're seeing are two guys at the absolute peak of their careers that are so comfortable with each other and so fluid with each other and just know each other's moves before they even do them. They're dangerous spots. And that's why I enjoy their matches a little bit more than the Suzuki matches, Colin. Again, you were right. That was a fight. That was an absolute fight. And trust me, I enjoy it. I thought it was great. I love the
The finesse. Spectacle.
The spectacle, maybe. Yeah.
And that's the difference. The Suzuki Okada is a fight, and Okada Omega is the spectacle, the show.
Mm-hmm. And I truly enjoy both of them. Don't get me wrong.
No, as do I. As do I.
But I could watch Omega and Okada on a loop for the rest of my life, and I think I'd be the happiest guy in the world.
If somebody would have said to you a few years ago that Kazuchika Okada was going to find a better or as good dance partner as Hiroshi Tanahashi, you would have said they were out of their mind.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you're probably right, because to me that was always the trilogy, right? To me that was the bar, and
that was the feud of an era.
Yeah, I mean that's what I would hang my hat on to be, you know, you're a new fan of pro wrestling. Watch these matches. Right now, I got a new batch.
Yeah,
I really do. I can't imagine someone who, if they're a casual wrestling fan, or even a non-fan, even they're, you know, or maybe they're like, hey, you know, Damon, hey, Colin, show me some. You do this pod. Show me. You know, I'm going to these three matches. I absolutely would go to these three matches, because if you walk away from these three matches and you don't find it, you're not a fan, and go watch fucking, you know, U.S. Open. I don't know. You know, watch fucking whatever. Game of Thrones. Well, I don't give a
hey,
shit.
Hey, don't bring Game of Thrones into this.
I'm just. I'm not knocking. I first of all, one. I've never watched an episode, and I never.
You'd hate
it. I would.
Not
I
your
would,
cup of tea.
I don't like the Dungeons and Dragons nonsense. I don't care about that. That does nothing for me. Yeah, if you can't find a love of pro wrestling in that, then...
Oh, absolutely. If somebody who was primarily a casual WWE fan came up to me and was inquiring about New Japan, probably the first match that I would sit down and have them watch would be Okada Omega from the Dome this past year. That's probably what I would show them to kind of wet their palate, if you will. And
yeah, the big show of the year, they got the big stage... Right, lots of people. That's not a bad choice, actually.
Well, Damon, what do you say we get into the show from earlier this morning? The G1 Climax 27 final from Ryogoku Sumo Hall in Tokyo. And the evening kicked off with a tag match featuring Jushin Liger, Kushida, Tiger Mask, and Kawato taking on Kanemaru, Taichi, El Desperado, and Taka Michinoku.
Mm-hmm. We started off with a nice hot tag. Again, lots of multi-man tags on this show, and again, we're going to get everybody in on the show. We had a little, we had Liger with a little table dance and a little spanking, right?
Listen. Whenever a show starts off with Jushin Thunder Liger spanking somebody, you know it's going to be amazing. The rest of the night is, you know, it's all uphill from here.
I tell you, that is one of the comedy spots I do enjoy. That is a funny spot. Dirty Uncle Jushin.
I love Tai Chi's entrance, by the way. I really do.
Come on, Calm. Do you really?
it's funny now? Yeah. No.
Oh, I always love it when he does it like in the middle of the walkway, in the middle aisle, and there's like some random police officer standing there that has to put up with his nonsense right next to him. Like he's just like, oh, what is going on here?
I love the whole gimmick, but not so much when the bell rings.
Really? Because that's what turns a lot of people off.
Initially, I wasn't sure about it, but I kind of got into it.
Nope. No chance. I got nothing for you there. I know you're turning the corner on him. You're becoming a fan of his.
I planted the seeds for this, like, I think around Best of the Super Juniors time.
Yeah, right. Are you a full-fledged fan now?
I don't want to say I'm a full-fledged Tai Chi fan, but all I'm saying is I kind of dig the entrance.
Oh, I absolutely hate I hate everything about it. Anyway, I didn't think this match was bad.
No,
I mean, I thought
great
this
opener.
Was a sprint. I mean, they shoved 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag. what did it go, like 5 minutes?
6 minutes and 6 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, an 8-man tag going 6 minutes, what does that tell you? We're just doing everything we can out of the gate. I'm trying to think. It was Kawato who got squashed, right?
Yeah, Kawato. Kanemaru hit his finisher on Kawato.
Yeah. A couple of them, as a matter of fact. That whole thing where, you know, we're going to hold the tag partner outside the ring. You know, everybody kind of pairs up, and I'm going to grab onto the guy so the guy can't make a save. That seemed like it went on forever. I was like, there's no one who can make a save. There's no one who can poke somebody in the eye and get in the ring. Poor Kawada. He got squashed. But, yeah, it was a sprint. It was fine. Lots of action, but it wasn't boring. It wasn't slow, but, you know, it was multi-man tag with Suzuki Gun.
No, yeah, you know.
And then they brawled in the crowd, right?
They did brawl in the crowd, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I assume setting up a match for destruction, possibly, between Kushida and El Desperado. And that was another thing that this show did very well as a whole, was building towards destruction. I mean, we've got a lot of matches set up for September, I think.
Well, I think G1 did that as a whole, right?
Right.
I mean, we have plenty of options and plenty of programs before the Dome, and even leading to the Dome. So
this show in particular kind of also worked as a build up towards September, at least in my mind.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're 100% right. There's, you know, I don't want to say every match had a little nugget that you were walking away from saying, okay, looks like we're going in this direction for those match, or, you know, toward the autumn months. The show helped do that. Yes, absolutely.
How do you feel about like Kushida versus El Desperado? Is that a match on paper that you're into, or?
Nope. Not really. Nope.
I think Destruction is probably like a good place for that, though. You know,
yeah.
September show. I imagine they're going to have at least two nights. So, you know.
Yeah, they are, yeah. Hiroshima and Fukuoka, not Fukuoka, I forget where. But yeah, there's two nights. That's a semi-main event.
Yeah, that's a match you can easily stick on one of those shows in the semi.
Maybe he'll defend the Ring of Honor.
that's true. Kushida, the Ring of Honor television champion.
Yeah. Well, good for him.
Taking that belt to new heights.
New heights. I'm not excited for Kushida El Desperado. I hate to say it. I think I would like to see I don't know. It just seems like we've seen a lot of that stuff before. Maybe I'm feeling it's Bushi. You know what I mean? I just see a mask and I just think it's the same shit I see. But, whatever. I mean, no, I would say I'm probably at like a 4 or 5 at best.
All right, second match, we saw a tag team bout between Yuji Nagata and Manabu Nakanishi taking on Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, the Gorillas of Destiny. First of all, Let's talk about Yuji Nagata for a moment, shall we?
Let's.
I think that Yuji Nagata was one of the MVPs of this year's G1 Climax. I mean, I really don't think he had a bad match. And not only that, he had probably at least two of my favorite matches of the tournament. The one against Hiroshi Tanahashi and the one against Kushida. I thought those two especially were just great, solid pro wrestling.
Against Kushida?
Did I say Kushida?
You did say Kushida.
I'm still thinking of Kushida and El Desperado and their
you're still excited about
and
that,
their
right?
impending so match. Still... I'm pumped, Damon. No, what I meant to say was Yuji Nagata against Ishii and Tanahashi.
There you go. All right. Yes, I agree with that statement. And I will say, if we go back a couple nights, that last match against Fale, what a great job the fans did, right? The fans knew that was it for Nagata when it comes to G1, and that was a great moment, man. That was one of those touching moments that, and we've seen a lot of them in the past couple of days. Those tug at the heartstring moments. That again, it pays to be a fan of this promotion, right? Because they'll give you those little rewards. Well, here it was. This was a great reward. Even Fale giving him, the bow afterward, because Nagata helped train Fale apparently. So there was a little nod there of appreciation from Fale, and the fans were awesome. The fans were great.
Let me ask you this, though.
And he got choked. Yuji got choked up. It was good. That was a great moment.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that moment would have been more special if they would have saved Yuji Nagata's lone win for that night?
I would have loved him to get a win, period. Right? Wouldn't it have been great for him to walk out on top? They just, for whatever reason, Colin, they are like, fuck the nostalgia. They're like, it is logic over nostalgia, that's just the way it is. Like, wouldn't it have made sense for him to get the fucking win? Like, it means nothing to the standings, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he got that win over Zack Sabre Jr. Why not save the one win that he was going to get for his final match of the tournament?
That's what I'm saying.
That is what would have made most sense to me. But nevertheless, it was still a touching moment.
It was. Yes. Yeah. To me, that's a no-brainer, but they're not going to do it. They're not. Here's the thing. They're not going to let emotion get in the way of logic. They are like they're like me in a lot of ways. They're not going to let emotion get in the way of logic. And that's, as a fan, let me take that back. As a Western fan, I think that we are conditioned to have those moments in pro wrestling. We are conditioned to have those feel-good moments in pro wrestling. And they just fucking don't do it with at least this crew, right? With this crew, it's rare that you get that nostalgia, we're going to throw him a bone fucking way of booking. And on the one hand, I think it's great that they do that. They don't let that emotion get in the way. And it's, of course, he lost to the younger, bigger, stronger. Okay. But Jesus Christ, that would have been a great moment, wouldn't it? Him to fucking get that in there.
It's kind of like bizarro storytelling in a way to have the final match be the loss.
Right. Right. They always do that. And even when,
happened with Liger.
Well, Liger, remember the Tenryu match with Okada? And again, Tenryu was, physically in no way.
Did you want Tenryu to defeat Okada, Damon?
Well,
get a shot at the title?
Right. But here's the thing. We're conditioned as Western fans, right, of all the various Americanized pro wrestling that we're subject to.
Like Hardcore Wrestling International.
For big fans of Hardcore Wrestling International. That would have been, Hardcore Wrestling International would have fucking booked that shit. You know that. That fucking Tenryu would have fucking squashed Okada.
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying. Like, it's just,
I know.
It is one of those head-scratchy things to us, but truth be told, it really does fucking make sense that Nagata didn't get the win. He did get his moment, though. Touching moment, tears were shed, and Blue Justice is in our hearts.
How'd you feel about this tag match against the Guerrillas of Destiny? I thought that the crowd really made this match, actually. I mean, they were just super into Nagata and Nakanishi. So I think that the crowd really kind of helped to pick up the slack for the quality of the match, if you will. And when it was all said and done, it wasn't terrible. The match went over 7 minutes. Guerrillas of Destiny picking up the win. And I found that interesting that... Now, I listen to the English commentary feed. I know that you're a purist, Damon. You like to listen to the Japanese feed. You've been watching this stuff for a long time. But
I know we got a shout-out, didn't we, Colin?
Yeah, I think we got a shout-out on all three nights, if I'm correct. You know, big thanks to Kevin Kelly. I mean, the guy doesn't have to do that, but he does it out of the goodness of his heart. And he really does want to help promote this product.
He really does, and he doesn't have to. And we say it every time it does, but it does. It almost shocks me. Like it's just, you know, he doesn't have to do that, and he does, and every time he does it, we get a huge bump. So listen, if you, guys and gals, if you're listening to this, shoot him a tweet, right? Thank him for putting us over.
Please, seriously.
I mean, everybody asks, how can we help support the show? How can we, like, just let Kevin Kelly know that's awesome that you do that, because we're just a little rinky dink fucking production here. And everything that he does for us helps us in the long run. And to get exposure on big shows like that, that's huge, you know. And he's a sweetheart for doing it. And we definitely owe that guy at least a soda pop or two.
Where I was going with that, though, is I think it was Don Callis who mentioned Cyrus, who mentioned that Tongaloa hasn't even scratched the surface with how great he can be, I believe was the quote. And I think that Kevin Kelly kind of agreed with that sentiment. Let me ask you, have you seen, you know,
no.
since Tongaloa came to New Japan Pro Wrestling, have you seen any improvement?
All right, if I'm being fair, yeah, if I'm being absolutely 100% fair, yes, I have seen improvement for whatever that's worth. Like, my enjoyment of him has gotten, like, you know, notches above. That being said, he doesn't fit in. He really doesn't fit into this roster,
no.
talent-wise. And I don't see it.
And we're kind of, you know, we've been notorious for saying that about some guys, that they don't fit in, and they go and they prove us wrong, like Juice Robinson, for example.
Yep.
But Tongaloa, I mean, we've been talking about him for a while and how he's kind of a... what's that saying?
Square peg, round hole?
Yeah, square peg, round hole. That's where I was going with that. And he really hasn't... He's improved marginally, but I don't know. I'm still of the opinion, like, what's this guy doing here in New Japan?
And listen, let's be truthful. Everybody had high hopes for Tama Tonga in this G1, right?
Yeah.
Everybody was waiting for this breakout performance. Right? That didn't fucking happen, right? It just didn't happen, and that's. But here's the thing: that's okay. That is what it is, right? And, you know, we're shoulder shrugging it right now. We're like, okay, that's who he is. That's what he is. So
I didn't think he had a bad tournament, but it certainly wasn't anything like Michael Elgin's tournament, or, you know, even Yuji Nagata's tournament, really.
Yeah, I mean, Colin, there's plenty of people. There's not many people that are going to be below Tama Tonga in your enjoyment of G1 matches. There's not going to be many people that are going to be. Yano's going to be below him, right?
Yeah, Yano, for
okay.
sure.
Who else?
Maybe Kojima. Although he had a really good tournament, actually.
Right? I think Kojima did better.
Yeah, you know what? He did. Yeah, I think Yano's at the bottom, and maybe up from that is Tama Tonga, because everyone else,
like, Fale had a good one.
Yeah, Fale did have a good one. Fale played his role to a T.
Who else? I mean, I can't think of anybody else.
Yeah, Tama Tonga, I think.
And I'm not shitting on Tama Tonga, but because here's the thing: at the end of the day, and maybe this is just me, like, looking at it like a guy who is, you know, looking at a girlfriend who just broke up with him, and, oh, maybe we'll get back together. Yeah, I don't know. like, I still see that there's potential. I still see that there's something there. I still see that this, I don't know, but I haven't seen it yet.
I see a real future for us, David.
Look, we could work it out. I'll change.
Yeah, right. Here's my thing. I think that Tama Tonga relied a little too much on shtick throughout this tournament. You know what I mean? He relied a little too much on sizzle and not enough on the steak.
I just don't think right now. And again, if there was ever an opportunity for him to show people like us, assholes like us, who do stupid podcasts, that he belongs in that mix. That was the opportunity. I don't know what other opportunity the guy would need, right? And that being said, I still think that there's potential there. Call me naive, call me morbid, call me pale. I got 6 months old. I'm doing Smith still lyrics now, Colin. look, I still, for some dumb reason, see something in him.
Damon wants to wish Tama Tonga an unhappy birthday, is what he's saying.
I hope I see it. One day he shuts me up with it.
Let me sum up Tama Tonga's G1 run with this. His most memorable match was against Omega, and that was only because he got on the mic in the middle of it.
Yeah.
There you go. That kind of sums it up, I think.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely. And to wrap this matchup in a bow, it stunk.
I didn't think it stunk. It was there. It was okay.
It was okay, but the fans made this match. Let's be honest.
Yeah, they really did.
The actual nostalgia made this match.
Third match, Toki Makabe and David Finlay versus Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi. Okay, so Finlay comes out with Makabe, and Finlay's kind of, you know, we've been talking about how he's been trying different things with his look, and he's got himself a nice leather vest there and some boots with some tassels on, right? Damon, what do you think the prospects for David Finlay are? Do you think, do you see him in next year's G1 perhaps?
A lot of things are going to have to change.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And where, like, especially on this show with the amount of people that are coming back and, you know, old faces, new faces. I don't know where you put the guy. I'm being serious. I mean, it does feel like, you know, New Japan has this thing where they're only pushing certain gaijins at certain times.
Yes.
Right? I never thought I would say something like this, but David Finlay needs to get out of New Japan. There's just no room for the guy.
He's got to go abroad, and I really think that New Japan dropped the ball on him by not sticking him in this year's Best of the Super Juniors, because he could have learned so much from working with a lot of those guys. Like that
he's not a junior.
Real, I know, but come on. I mean, I think Tai Chi's bigger than he is, and he's considered a junior. So I think that they should have put him in the Best of the Super Juniors. He could have learned a lot and improved a lot. But yeah, I'm in full agreement. He needs to get out of New Japan. He needs to go to, I don't know, Rev Pro, Ring of Honor, somewhere, and work against some different people and kind of develop his, find his personality, find his niche, because he seems like, he seems lost.
Well, I just think that you reach a certain point where you're only going to learn so much in a multi-man tag.
Right.
Right? You're only going to learn so much taking the fall in these multi-man tags. Where do you go from here? I don't know. And again, I can't see a significant push for him, just because how would we? I mean, it's pro wrestling. You can do just about anything you want if it were right, but there's just so much talent. It's like, he's not going to start over again, right? It would make no sense. He's at a certain point where there's nowhere to go. I just think that to be the best for him. I really do. I think it would be the best for him.
Yeah, David Finley really needs to branch out and grow. And, of course, he took the fall in this match. Yoshihashi hit the karma. And another fine six-minute tag match.
Yeah, you know what? It felt like the first half of the show really bulldozed through.
Yeah.
I don't think anything was awful, right? There was nothing where... Look, at 3 o'clock in the morning, the last thing you want to fucking see is Nakanishi and Nagata against G.O.D., right?
Right.
But, you know, even that wasn't bad. And again, none of these matches, what get the timestamps on any of these?
Yeah, like the first four matches, the longest match was 7 minutes and 40 seconds. And ironically, right. That was the Nakanishi match. That was the longest match.
Well, he needed time to get to the ring. That was
right.
That was the... yeah, see, I mean, we were in and out in no time. So, again...
And that was smart.
You had to. That show would have gone 5 hours. It'd still be on now, if not. So, yeah, they were smart. They got in and out. So, yeah, it was easy peasy when it came to watching this stuff. 6 minutes, I can swallow. We're good there.
All right, next match. We saw yet another tag match featuring the team of Tenzan, Kojima, and Juice Robinson taking on Bad Luck Fale, Yujiro Takahashi, and Chase Owens. Damon, let's talk about our boy Juice here for a moment, shall we? What a great G1 tournament that he had, especially I really enjoyed the match that he had on the previous night against Elgin. I thought that was great.
I did too, but I'm going to be truthful, man. Elgin, wow.
I know. I know.
I mean, Jesus H. Christ on a stick. Whew, that guy was dropping fucking falls to everybody. I couldn't. Yeah. That one. Not that it shot. I mean, listen. Juice has gotten wins over just about everybody in that promotion at this point. Right? I mean, he barreled through all of LIJ. Elgin. Who else? Fucking Okada.
He had Omega. A great match with Okada.
Was it Okada or Omega? Yeah. Well, he lost against Okada.
Yes, and he defeated Omega.
Yeah. So, you know, when we talked about the coming out party, we had both kind of said Sonata, right? We both were like, I think this might be the Sonata year, right?
Little did we know.
Yeah, fucking. not only wasn't it, we said, hey, you know what? Maybe Evil should take a back seat.
Ooh. Maybe Evil should take the main event in Hiroshima.
I mean, whoopsie. But Juice probably came out, you know, from where he was. And again, even going into G1, he got big wins over big names, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he had a lot of great matches before G1 as well.
Yep, but post-G1, I think he's one of those guys that probably grew the most. Right.
Yeah, and I can honestly say I really looked forward to every Juice match in this tournament just because I wanted to see what was going to happen.
Yeah, they booked him. He was the surprise in the sense of you didn't know which way that was going, right?
Yeah.
So if you were watching a Juice match, you could have flipped a coin, and that made it that much more exciting because you really, at least I didn't, have a good feel of who was getting the win in a Juice match. And to me, that makes the match much more exciting.
Yeah, Juice Robinson, just one of the standouts in this year's G1 Climax, I think. And it was funny, after the Elgin match, of course, I was listening to the English commentary feed, and Juice goes over to Kevin Kelly and Don Callis, and he says something to the effect of that he's going to be balls deep in some beautiful Japanese women tonight.
Did he really say that?
He said that. He said that on the mic. And
he said he was going to be balls deep in some Japanese women?
Yeah, yeah. He said he was going to be balls deep in some beautiful Japanese women tonight. And... And Don Callis, I love this guy's delivery because he goes to Kevin Kelly. He goes, "When was the last time you were balls deep, Kevin?" It was just the greatest thing. Just the way he said that.
That's a pretty racy statement, dear
right?
Juice. Good Lord. You're a baby face for crying out. I swear to God, before you said that, I was the words that were going to come out of my mouth is, boy, is there a bigger baby face in fucking pro wrestling? And he's talking about, his sexual exploits like he's fucking Ric Flair in 1985.
Hey, well, look.
Buying kamikaze shots for everybody at fucking the Tokyo Hilton.
You can tell the girls are really into Juice if you take a look around the audience. He's got that baby face, and he's kind of got the, I don't know, maybe it's the dreads. He's just got like a cool, chill vibe about him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, he's a...
Reminds me of myself a lot, Damon.
Really? All right, so let me ask you this, Colin. Minus the dreads, because you can't fucking pull off the dreads.
No.
What has he got that you could get and would up your game tenfold?
Well, look, Juice certainly has a little more swagger than I do. I'll admit that.
Okay, but what else?
He's got the pulp friction. I don't have that.
No, true. The leather jacket.
The damn leather jacket. We're still on this.
And listen, it's a bit from way past. I mean, we could go back to show number 3, probably.
Probably.
He's got a leather jacket, Colin. I'm just fucking saying. I don't think there's any coincidence that the coolest guys in that promotion, they all got leather jackets. Just saying.
All right. Well, getting back to this match here, Tenzan Kojima and Juice versus Fale, Takahashi, and Chase Owens. Fine six-man tag match. Juice picking up the win at the end with the pulp friction on Chase Owens. Not much I can say about it, really. Happy to see Juice pick up another win, even if it was over Chase Owens.
You know who had a good tournament as well, and you're going to be like, what? But if you go back and watch some of these undercards, right? And again, a lot of people skip the undercards. And again, I can understand why. There's only so many hours in a day, and you want to get to the sexy meat potatoes. How about that Chase Owens? I don't think that Chase Owens had a bad tour this year.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't pay much attention to his matches.
Okay, I'm not saying go back and watch them. I'm not saying go back. But note that I thought at least he had a good tour. I think he played a nice role, and when he was in these matches, I feel like he had his working boots on. I think he did a good job. I enjoyed what he did this tour. Hats off to Chase Owens, kids.
Hats off to Chase.
Yeah.
All right, and we move to the final match of the first half of the show for the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championship. The Young Bucks defending against Ryusuke Taguchi and Ricochet. You know, one of the things that makes the Young Bucks such a great tag team is that they really work to their audience, and I think that this was a total Japanese Young Bucks match. Like, this wasn't anything like they would put on at a PWG show or a Ring of Honor show. Just a great Japanese Young Bucks match.
I like this match a lot, and I'm always concerned, and it makes sense from a air quote pro wrestling perspective, where, you know, you have a high flyer and a risk taker and you want to kind of ground them, right? So there was the one spot where Ricochet does the dive over the top and, you know, kind of landed awkwardly on his leg, and then it was work the leg time. And it always kind of makes me like, ah, fuck, which means, you know, maybe we're not going to see as much offense. He's going to sell the leg. You know, we're not going to see as much craziness from Ricochet, but I think he still delivered. And I liked this match a lot. I really did. I thought this match was a real joy. Taguchi, I thought, was on fire. He had that one spot where he was just ass, you know, offense, left and right, jumping off ropes, over ropes.
There was a great spot where I think the Bucks were setting up for a Meltzer driver or an Indie Taker, and Taguchi did the hip attack as they were trying to hit it. That was great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that as well. The finish, you know,
you don't like the sharpshooter finish?
The sharpshooter finish was fine, but then the shooting star press, right? So he's in the sharpshooter for a long time, right? And he had that leg worked over quite a lot. And yes, he did kind of hobble to get to the top, and it did take a while. I don't know. I'm just like, oh, the fucking shooting star press. You just had your leg fucking battered.
Damon complaining about a lack of selling here. Wow, you sound like me when I was talking about the Suzuki Okada match from February.
I got to be honest with you. That one did stick out to me.
Didn't sell the leg.
That one did stick out to me. It did. I cannot tell a lie.
It's funny because it didn't really bother me that much.
Yeah, I mean, again, whatever.
I'm usually the asshole that points that shit out. Didn't sell the knee, Damon.
Yeah, I mean, what are you gonna do? That one, I definitely noticed. That one was going. So I guess the people who had the selling fetish thing, their heads are had exploded during that match. I'm sure Twitter was just on fire with those guys. But I noticed it. It was glaring. That was a glare to me. But overall, Colin, I really enjoyed this match.
Yeah, I
really enjoyed the tag team. I'm turning the corner on the team Japan. Taguchi Japan. I'm turning the fucking corner on that. I'm getting it, and I'm enjoying it. And I think that's a nice swap. I like that. I like them winning the titles there.
Well, Damon, I'm glad to hear that you're getting into Taguchi Japan, and it sounds like you might want to buy some Taguchi Japan merchandise, and I know just the place where you can get Taguchi Japan merchandise shipped straight to your door directly from Japan. And do you know what that website is?
Colin, I do. It's gaijincollectibles.com, of course, right?
Yes.
All right, so that's... those are our friends. They were just at the G1. They were posting some stuff. They were at the finals, Aaron and his wife. Look, great stuff at Gaijin. You can get all that, the team Taguchi Japan. You can get your Kenny Omega towels and T-shirts. And listen, why embarrass yourself and go into a Hot Topic, right? Why
exactly.
would you do that? I mean, good Lord. I'm going to be dead in that place. But I would be caught in front of my computer and looking online at gaijincollectibles.com, knowing full well that the product I'm getting is straight from the promotions Japan shipped straight to my door. How convenient. How great. What a service it is. Let's give it up for Gaijin Collectibles. They do a wonderful job with us, and they will do the same for you. So all of your Puro merch, whether it's from New Japan, All Japan,
Basara.
Stardom, Basara. Yeah, listen, they can do it. Talk to them. Shoot them a message. If they don't have it on their site, they can get it for you in via their buying service. So a great job by Gaijin Collectibles. They're friends of ours, and we hope that you turn to them for all of your Puro merch needs.
And Damon, speaking of Puro merch, I know we've been talking about this for a while now, but I am in the early stages of getting some official New Japan PuroCast t-shirts printed up. I want to say that I want to have all of this up on our website around holiday shopping time at the latest.
Oh, we'll definitely have it up before then.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there as a late time that it's going to be up. But make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, New Japan PuroCast t-shirts are in the works. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter for any potential impending announcements about that. And yeah, the idea is just to have some t-shirts, some buttons, maybe some hats up on an official store. And if you want to support us, if you like us, you'll be able to go there and buy some official PuroCast merch. So keep your eyes and ears open for that coming very, very soon, I promise.
Yes, we're very excited about that. Colin's been working very hard on that behind the scenes. So for those of you who are looking for that, we get a lot of requests for, hey, t-shirts, what do you think about them? Well, listen, there's a slow burn with us, right? We take our time, but eventually that's going to happen, and we're working with some great people. And again, it's coming, kids, so hang in there. You can walk about town, go out on a fancy date, and wear your New Japan PuroCast t-shirt, and then get...
I'm just picturing myself.
Kick to the curb. Picture Colin on a date with his PuroCast t-shirt, right?
And I can have like a leather jacket. With the button on the leather jacket.
Oh, my God, Colin. You're gonna be fighting him off with a stick, for crying out loud. I can't wait either, to be honest with you. And I know for a fact, Colin, being that we're kind of roundabout and everything, I know I owe you an American dollar.
That's right. Toru Yano coming up just 2 points short of Zack Sabre Jr. How embarrassing, Damon.
Ah, that mother. I'm going to have a word with him when I see him in Tokyo. I mean, you cost me a dollar. But yeah, Zack with 10, right? Zack popped out 10, and Yano with 8 points. So it's official. Damon owes Colin the Duelair, and I will send that along with some pins that we got from, again, our good friends at Wunth. Who made those for us. They will send them out to Colin. He'll have that shortly. So again, I lost the bet.
One more final thing about this junior tag match, Damon. Okay. And this is another Don Callis thing. I'm sorry. Uh-oh. But the Young Bucks, you know, before the match starts, they come over to the English commentating booth. And I can't remember if it was Nick or Matt. I think it was Matt. And he said something that he was going to go home and make love to his wife. And then Don Callis goes, or better yet, someone else's wife.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you what, the there was no shortage of racy comments.
Yeah, really? My Lord. Everybody's horny as fuck over there.
You got Juice talking about balls. The Young Bucks are making love to their wives. Don Callis is talking about putting the Tokyo Latina in that Sonata position. Like,
right, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, they talk about us with our sophomore humor.
I know, right? There was this should have had a TV-14, I think.
Rating. Really? Wow. Well, listen. I'm glad everybody's getting some. Everybody wants some, Colin.
And I want some too. During intermission, Shibata comes out. First appearance since April, I think, after losing to Okada at Sakura Genesis, and he said, "I'm alive. That's all."
Unbelievable moment, right? So I'm sitting there. Again, it's 3 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. It's a little bit later than that, like 3:30, almost 4. And they did a Wrestle Kingdom promo, right? Little video thing, you know, kind of announcing the Thursday, the 4th, which we all knew that was happening. But, you know, it's nice to see it official, the logo and everything else. And then all you hear is that opening, those guitar strums, you know, that
arpeggios.
That's exactly right. Colin, the guitar player. That's right. You would know that. And I'm like, what? And then you see the video starting, and I'm like, I got to be dreaming. What the fuck is going on here? And what a moment. What an absolute moment that was, where, Colin, there were people, and I'm not just saying one or two. There were loads, men, women, children, ligers, in tears, right? Tears at the notion of this guy coming to the ring. And he gets in the ring, and wow, he's emotional. Everybody's emotional. I got a lump in my throat. What a fantastic moment. A fantastic moment for a guy who, let's be honest here, it was touch and go for a while there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just happy that this dude's walking around and talking, really.
Yep.
Like, I really don't care if he... I mean, I care, but, you know, I don't want him to wrestle again if
nope.
That's going to mean bad things down the line for his health. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I was thrilled to see him in a wrestling ring. I do not want to see him as a professional wrestler performing the art of pro wrestling in a ring anymore. I was thrilled that he had the wherewithal to be able to walk down. And let's be honest, to me, he looked good, right?
Yeah.
He looked, you know, he didn't. There wasn't anything noticeable where it was like, oh, he struggled. No, he got to the ring with grace. And with strength, and got in the ring, and he did his cross leg sit down, and it was great. What fucking, that's, I'm going to say what a moment 1,000 times, what a moment. It was, Colin hit me up, letting me know that he's, you know, ready to go, and I was like, all right, I'll be on in like 2 seconds. He was setting up the computer so we could record this show. And what I was showing, I was showing my wife the show and that moment. And she was like, wow, that's fucking, you know, so it transcends, right? The moment doesn't get lost on people.
Also, I think we should mention, I'm sorry.
No, it was just like Liger in tears and everybody just fucking crying. Oh, what a moment.
I don't think that we mentioned Honma on commentary from the other night.
I mean, we didn't.
There's another significant thing that happened. Tomoaki Honma, who was, you know, paralyzed there for a while.
Yeah. Thank God. Or thank whatever you believe in.
Yeah.
Thank, you know what I mean? Like sometimes things might not work out completely, but your eyes are open, you're breathing, you see the sunshine. Sometimes just that is a very good fucking thing. And we got two guys that are able to do that right here on, you know, the 13th of August. That's a good thing.
Yeah, the fact that Shibata and Honma have the ability to walk around and string together coherent sentences. Yeah. I mean, that's all I want. That's fine.
Yep. I know that they're professional athletes, and I know that they want more, and I wholeheartedly appreciate that. But I also know that even in those moments when they were welcomed back and they were, and again, the crowd going nuts, and Shibata, it didn't get lost on him. They know, and they appreciate the fact that the sun is up and they're able to see it, and they're able to breathe, and they're able to hear, and they're able to speak and be able to breathe. And that, to me, is just a great, great thing.
Any thoughts on that cryptic video that was shown during intermission?
You know what? I saw it. It was like the knife and the...
Yeah, it was a figure in a black cloak and gloves with a knife.
I don't know, but somebody's going to get murdered.
I think so. Is this Michael Myers coming to New Japan?
Somebody's going to get shanked. Somebody call the cops.
Seriously.
No, I haven't heard peep one, be honest with you. So I don't know. And two, I just thought it was weird. They just shoved it in there. Like, it was just like on, like, I don't even think people, it, you know, people were able to digest what they were watching and what they saw. I just thought it was kind of a weird placement. In fact, I had to watch it twice because I thought they fucked up, actually. Like, it looked like that somebody in production, like, was rolling something and it didn't quite.
Like a television show.
Yeah, like they say, I mean, I don't
Murder
know
She what... Wrote.
Jessica Lansbury and Tomohiro Ishii in Murder She Suplexed. That was stupid. I don't know. It just seemed very odd. I have no idea where that's going. I don't know.
All right, well, let's dig into the second half of the show here. First match for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championship. We have the champions War Machine defending against Cody and Hangman Page. Damon, there's two things that I wanted to say about this match. Number one, I know that Adam Page, Hangman Page, whoever you want to call him, he has been one of the guys who on this podcast, we've kind of laid the boots to a little bit and questioned his place in New Japan. With that being said, I noticed an improvement in this tag match. I thought that him and Cody really worked together very well.
I don't hate it. I don't hate that tag team at all.
No.
To be truthful.
No.
And I think in the beginning... I'll lay it all on the line. I think that's a perfect role for Cody, right? Like, if he weren't the Ring of Honor heavyweight champion, I wouldn't have even have had that much of a problem with them winning the tag belts.
And me neither, actually. I kind of expected that to happen.
Like, if you said on January 4th of this year that Cody Rhodes was going to be in a tag team match in a tag team program in the heavyweight division, I would probably have less problem with Cody Rhodes. I really would have. I think Cody Rhodes makes a perfect tag team with a Hangman Page or even a Fale, right? I think I would be all in on that.
Yeah, because initially I think we had like tossed around the idea of a Page-Fale tag team, but No, I'm definitely on board with this. I thought they both worked very well together and with G.O.D. I thought it was a really great match, to be truthful.
Oh, with War Machine, yeah.
Yeah, War Machine, not G.O.D. G.O.D. came out later, but we'll get into that in a bit.
Yes. If they continued that, that would be fine. And again, they weren't going to win the titles just with Cody Rhodes' commitments. That would have been an odd thing to have happen. But I was totally okay with that. I'm down with a Cody Rhodes tag team, totally. And War Machine, they're winning right now. For me, they're by far tag team of the year.
Oh, for sure.
In New Japan.
Yeah. I mean, they were really the shot in the arm that the heavyweight tag division needed in New Japan, and I really hope that they stick around for a while. Speaking of heavyweight tag titles and junior tag titles, there's another thing I wanted to point out. I think that there were actually more flips in this heavyweight tag team match than in the junior heavyweight tag team match. Yeah.
I know.
Like, Hangman Page is doing shooting stars off the apron. They're doing tandem moonsaults. You're doing cartwheels.
That line has blurred, hasn't it?
Right? Yeah. So my point is, I hate to beat a dead horse, but come on, just break with tradition, combine these tag titles, and that way you could have matches like the Young Bucks versus War Machine in New Japan.
And who would complain with that, right?
Nobody. Not a soul.
Yeah. I agree. If the styles definitely mesh, especially in 2017. Like, I just don't understand why. I mean, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title is my favorite title. Just traditionally. It is my favorite title in all of wrestling. So I definitely don't want to see it abolished or melded into another, you know, merged into another title. I don't want to see that. But with that said, I guess in 2017, I have a hard time swallowing this line in the sand, right? And because it just makes no sense to me. I don't know.
Not only that, think about how great the World Tag League could be. Actually, yeah, if
that's the one thing too.
If you combined both divisions and you had, like, instead of just pairing random singles wrestlers together, you know, have actual tag teams that have been doing this for a while in the tournament. Have the Young Bucks in the World Tag League. Have
Ricochet.
Ricochet and Taguchi. Why not? You can have this has the potential for a great G1 tag league, but alas, I don't think that they at this point, I don't think they'd ever go that route.
I can't never say never, but yeah. It does. You know, we bitch and moan about it, and we bitch and moan about it for years. So, whatever. But you're right though. The styles are you know, you probably you're right in the sense that you probably saw just as many flips in this match than you did in the other one. And here's the thing: I like this match. I like the idea of G.O.D. continuing on, but I think the seeds are laid, Colin, with some friends that have returned.
Yeah, so the mix. So Roe hits the fallout on Paige. War Machine retains. G.O.D. comes out, issues the challenge.
Everybody groaned. Oh, you're like, oh, here's the shit again.
Did you hear how silent it was, too, when Tama Tonga was talking? I mean, you could have heard a pin drop.
Look, I know everybody's all happy because Tama Tonga gets on a microphone and he starts, and I air quote, the shoots. That was one of the worst promos ever, wasn't it? That was a terrible promo.
It really was.
And yes, you could have heard a fucking pin drop in that building. But okay, I go on.
So before War Machine has the chance to accept the challenge laid out by G.O.D., who comes out? But none other than Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer, the Killer Elite Squad. Very, very pleased to have them back. Man, imagine the future matches against War Machine. How great they're going to be.
Yeah, that's a nice little recovery time from Lance Archer, right?
And yes.
Right around Dash, right?
Yeah, I think it was right around Dash where he got that serious injury.
Yeah, man, the back is surgery. And good for him. Back looks good. Davey Boy Smith looks awesome as always. We were kind of hoping we were going to see him in G1, right?
Yeah, I would have liked that.
I know you would have. You're a big fan.
Man.
So, well, look, he was back for the show that mattered, right?
That's right.
I think that's going to be a nice. I think we got to. Unfortunately, we're going to have to sit through a three-way, right?
Yeah, but I imagine that they'll throw that on one of the Destruction shows in September. Yeah. But you know that it'll be good.
You think a title change there? You think KES walks away with some straps?
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. So. They certainly came back with an impact. And I don't know if you know anything about the status of Hanson and Rowe.
Nothing new. Only that, you know, there have been discussions. And I know that there's interest in, you know, Florida has an interest. Orlando has an interest.
Hardcore Wrestling International has an interest.
Hardcore Wrestling International has made a pitch. Representatives from Hardcore International. I can't believe we fucking still mention that nonsense.
I love it. Yes. I'm going to continue.
Yeah. Hey, listen, knock yourself out with that. You know, I think everybody kind of circled KES to win the titles back, you know, back in February when they returned, right? So I wouldn't be surprised if we pick up where we left off in February and KES walking away with the straps at the end of the day.
All right, next match. We have another six-man tag featuring the team of Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kota Ibushi, and Michael Elgin taking on Minoru Suzuki, Zack Sabre Jr., and Iizuka. Damon, how psyched are you to see Iizuka back?
Oh, is there anything worse than him going through the crowd? Like, you're sitting there trying to enjoy a goddamn wrestling show, and you got this maniac running past you, knocking over your drinks.
I was just thinking that's our Halloween costume, Damon. You and I, we're going out for Halloween. I'm going to play the role of Taka Michinoku. You're going to play the role of Iizuka. We're just going to wander around the streets of Philly with you on a leash. And me, like, pulling you back. Like, could you imagine us knocking on doors?
Oh, this would be great. Me with an iron claw just fucking going crazy. Yeah. I'm sure we'd get arrested. You know, what a night that would be. Woo. Yeah, no. Look, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. He's back. He's back, kids.
A lot of people to talk about here, though, seriously. Hiroshi Tanahashi, let's talk about his G1 for a moment.
Wow. Let's talk about that last match, right? Shall we?
Yeah, the Naito match from Friday. You know what that match kind of reminded me of?
That Hiroshi Tanahashi is one of the best fucking pro wrestlers in the world, and when the spotlight is on him, he can deliver? Is that what it reminded you?
Yes, that and it kind of harkened back a little bit in my mind to the AJ Styles Tanahashi match from Sumo Hall at the G1 back in 2015. The spot where Tanahashi kind of has he has Naito in the Texas Cloverleaf that kind of harkened back to me in my mind. I thought of AJ when he had Tanahashi in the Calf Killer.
Yeah.
And like, you're just waiting for him to tap out, and in this case you're waiting for Naito to tap out. There were moments where I thought that he was really going to.
Yeah, me too. It was that look, Tanahashi, when the spotlight is on, we had our doubts with this G1, didn't we? And now it's Tanahashi, let's be truthful here. You know, we're talking about passing torches. That's two solid, definitive losses to Naito from Tanahashi. You know, you got that Tokyo Dome match and this one. Two of the biggest shows of the year. Tanahashi's lying down and putting Naito over to make sure, to make certain, to put an exclamation point on this nice little run for Naito.
And also, I realize that Okada Omega, like, their trilogy is the talk of the town, but how about the trilogy that Tanahashi and Naito had? Three great matches.
Look, and I'm being fair to say that they're not on the level of Okada Omega, right?
I think they're just different.
I do too, but they're great in their own little bubble, right? They're great in their own little bubble. Tanahashi's a pro, and whatever he needs to do when the spotlight is on him to have a great match in a big spotlight match like this, he does. And I don't know how many more he has in him, to be truthful. I don't know how many more he has, but on this night, I mean, where are you going with this, Colin? We're in the fours, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And
four and a half.
Yeah, I'd go four and a half for sure.
Would you go three quarter?
No, four and a half.
Okay, and that's fair. I'm down with that. I enjoyed this match a lot. This Tanahashi is one of just those fucking pros, man. That I can't say enough. And listen, that's not to belittle anything that Naito put together in this match either, and even the whole entire tournament. It seems like we haven't talked that much about Naito.
No, we really haven't.
And we should, because here's a guy that's fucking deserving of this award, you know, and moving on to Wrestle Kingdom. Just a great performance by him too. Fuck.
And it was a long time coming too. I mean, that's another perfect example, and we'll get into this deeper, of New Japan holding off on certain things, and then when it finally does happen, it means so much more. I mean, you can say that about a lot of things on this card, like the Omega win meant so much more at that point. Naito winning the G1 meant so much more, you know, after the wait. But getting back to the match at hand and Hiroshi Tanahashi, you want to hear what I want for Hiroshi Tanahashi rest of the year?
Vacation in Hawaii?
Essentially, yes. Here's what I think he should do. have the match against Zack Sabre Jr., defending the IC title, drop it to him at Destruction in September. Take off the rest of the year, please. Maybe you can come back for the two Christmas shows at Corkin in December. But for the love of God, take off. Get that shoulder taken care of. And, you know, come back better than ever at the Dome in January.
I'm in agreement. I'm in total agreement. Now, he's got technically, I mean, with the losses that he suffered in G1, he's got, it's not going to be, Naito's not going to challenge for the Intercontinental, right?
No.
So technically, I think what we're looking at is Zach and Ibushi, right?
Yes.
Okay. Who would you rather see him drop to, Zach or Ibushi?
Huh, that's a tough one, because I would like to see Zach hold the IC title, but, I mean, I'd also like to see Ibushi hold the IC title. Excuse me. Ibushi, a guy who's been chasing belts for a long time in New Japan. I mean, boy, it sure would be nice to finally see him hold some gold that's, you know, not the junior heavyweight title or the junior tag title.
Do you think contracts have something to do with that? Commitments have something to do with that?
Here's the thing. I have no idea what Kota Ibushi is involved in at this point with his ventures. Like, I have no idea what kind of contract he may or may not have with New Japan or with DDT or whoever. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, there could be something to that if he doesn't want to commit. I mean, it seems like this guy never really wants to commit to anything. Yeah. Yeah, that could be a factor. I mean, they could maybe Zach is more committed to New Japan than the free spirit Ibushi is.
I don't know. I don't know which way you go, but I would agree. Either one of those two would be a solid pick to me. Now, again, this is the second biggest title in the company. And this title is you're depending this title to draw houses. You need somebody that's going to be able to draw houses on their own. Right? To me, that's Kota Ibushi.
Oh, hands down. Absolutely.
Right? Again, there is that commitment issue. Again, there is that I don't know what his contract situation is, right? I don't know if New Japan would be willing to make that commitment to him without a commitment from him. But to me, the no-brainer would be Kota. And especially with Wrestle Kingdom, and especially with King of Pro Wrestling, it would make sense for Kota Ibushi to be that person. And yes, Tanahashi, sit back, wait up, rest up, get on a beach, do some fucking spa therapy, get a Hiroki Goto or two.
Go back into the PuroCast archives, folks, and look that one up. Here's the thing, though.
And then get ready for Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah. It looks like Tanahashi's next IC title defense is going to be against Zack Sabre Jr., right? So, if they have that match...
Is that official?
Damon, I mean, all indications lead me to that conclusion, especially after the...
All indications had Kota Ibushi still in it last week, but we kind
of... Yeah, but come on.
I just want to make sure Kota Ibushi, there's no chance for him to win G1 right now?
Steve,
is he officially eliminated mathematically?
It's not...
You do the math.
I mean, if Naito would have thrown that trophy, Kota Ibushi could have maybe came out and, like, took it for himself.
Okay.
But
all right. Mathematically eliminated?
Yeah, right. I'm afraid so, Damon. I'm afraid right. it's
Fall 8 2?
Yes, Fall 8 2. Although I think Fall 8, right. Look, okay. Fall 8, he has a shot to be in the main event at Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He does, yep. But my point about Tanahashi, though, it looks to me, especially after the end result of this match, Tanahashi having to tap out again, looks like he's going to be defending the title as soon as September. Now, if he doesn't drop the title in September, then that means, oh my God, he's going to have to wrestle another month. He's going to have to wrestle into King of Pro Wrestling. I mean, yeah. I'd rather him just drop it now and rest.
I would too, but it's Hiroshi Tanahashi. We know what we're dealing with here.
And like Tarkin? The company, you know, they're doing such great business now. I think they could get through the rest of the year, or at least until December, without Tanahashi's presence. I really do.
I agree. But again, you're dealing with Hiroshi Tanahashi, who might not be the... might be a little stubborn, Colin. Might be a little stubborn. And here's the thing, too. I mean, we're going off of what Big Dave is reporting, of course, right? Just like everyone else is. Maybe the injury isn't as serious. I don't know. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I hear tear bicep. What do I know? But
You're the surgeon general.
Know nothing. Look at me. Do I look like I know anything about health? Anything health related? I barely know what a fucking cucumber looks like, for crying out loud. Look, I would say yes. Give the belt to one of the two. Go get on a beach. Relax, get ready for Wrestle Kingdom, Tanahashi.
Also, another storyline that popped out of this match, it looks like Michael Elgin and Suzuki are going to be engaged in a bit of a feud, with Elgin perhaps going after the NEVER title, because I think that after that loss to Juice Robinson, I think Elgin kind of forfeited his chances at the IWGP US title. So I think that the NEVER title is what he's chasing.
Really? Okay. Well, I think eventually he'll get a shot at that U.S. belt.
He lost the juice, Damon.
Does that mean he loses the opportunity to challenge?
Yeah, I say so.
You're saying so.
Yeah.
Collins, the championship committee.
Yeah, I'm part of the IWGP, and I say that Elgin's lost the juice. That kind of cancels him out now for U.S. title contention.
All right. It would make sense, wouldn't it?
It would. That's why I said that.
And then you have Evil. Evil has got to get a shot at Okada eventually, right?
Yeah, I think we're looking at that for September.
It's pretty jam-packed September.
I know.
Maybe you hold off on that till King of Pro Wrestling.
So
I mean, would you go with Okada? Would you go with Okada, Evil, King of Pro Wrestling?
No, not a King of Pro Wrestling.
Where would you go there? One of these destruction shows?
Yeah, I would put Okada Evil on one of these destruction shows.
Okay.
And then for King of Pro Wrestling, we could maybe have Okada Suzuki. They could kind of finish their trilogy.
Yeah.
Especially if Suzuki maybe drops the NEVER title to Elgin. And I've always said that NEVER title is a good title for Elgin to hold.
I agree with that. In fact, I think it's a perfect title for him to hold.
Yeah.
All right, let's write to our congressman to get that fucking taken care of. That's a good title for him. Elgin and Suzuki. That's a sexy fucking matchup.
And I want to see them have a rematch too, because truth be told, I was kind of unsatisfied with their one from the G1. Way too many shenanigans, too much Suzuki Goon bullshit. Let's have another just straight up fight, maybe at Destruction, with these two.
Yeah, I would dig that. I would dig that. I'm so tired of fucking Suzuki-gun nonsense. Ugh, what a fucking shit show that is. All right, I'm down with that. All right, so Collins got it all booked out till the end of the year. Good for him. Let's go.
Call me
that.
Ghetto Junior.
I will. All right, good. Where are we now?
All right, semi-main event: Kazuchika Okada, Ishii, Yano, and Ghetto taking on Sonata Evil, Bushi, and Hiromu Takahashi.
I'm gonna be truthful. This match meant nothing to me in the sense of I'm waiting for the fucking main event at this point. You know,
honestly,
what I mean?
I think that's kind of everybody's general consensus regarding this match. Not to say that it was bad. There was definitely a lot of build up with Evil and Sonata in here. And, you know, that's why I say that this show did a great job at building future matches this fall. So I think that was kind of the main takeaway from here. The fact that Okada has just been through hell and back. His neck is all jacked up. Evil was exploiting that neck, and that's going to be one of the main sticking points for their big title match.
I don't know if we're going back to this, but I want to make this point right now.
Okay.
Was Okada Omega trilogy third match, did you give that one 5 stars?
No, I didn't. Because here's the thing. That match was kind of tainted for me, and I told you this off air.
Okay, go ahead.
I had the ending of it spoiled for me by a family member, unintentionally, but they spoiled it for me. And that does affect my ability to kind of get into it and be jumping up and down and screaming, kind of like I was doing at the Omega Naito match. Omega Okada, I knew what the end result was, so it just didn't have the same amount of drama for me as other matches did. Now, with that being said, I thought it was, you know, technically another phenomenal match, another masterpiece in their series, but it did not have the same level of drama for me as their prior two matches, or even a match like Okada versus Suzuki, which is my favorite.
You thought that was better?
Yeah, that had more drama for me. It really did. And I know that's going to be a controversial opinion, but again, my view of that match is kind of tainted a little bit because of the spoiler.
All right, we're not going to. So listen, I'm going to make an official judgment here. You can't judge that match then. Like, you can't, right? Because if that, you're going to let that spoil it. Like, if you can't take yourself out of it. But like, I knew the. But here's the thing, Colin. You knew the fucking. You knew who's going to win regardless.
You do and you don't, because look, anything could still. I thought Naito was going to tap out to Tanahashi. I did. I did not know what was going to happen in that match, and therefore it had a high level of drama. I mean, this match still had drama, but I don't know. Look, I would give it 4 3/4 stars.
All right, I'm going full marks. Are you going full marks for Okada Suzuki?
I gave that one 5 stars. Yeah,
5 stars. Okay,
I thought it was
just
better.
So we're on
their...
the record with that.
Yeah.
So we had a few 5 stars in this tournament alone.
Oh, for sure. I think
I know Dave was doing 4 3/4 up the ass, but
yeah, he's a little more hesitant than us.
A little gun shy.
I'm sure he'll give this one 5 though. The Omega Okada 3.
Yeah,
I'm pretty confident.
Me too. You think he's going? Is he going 5 Omega or Suzuki?
See, I don't think he's going to do that with the Suzuki match. Which
me neither.
Here's the thing, though. He said himself. I heard him say himself that was better than their New Beginning match, which he gave 4 3/4 stars. So by that rationale, shouldn't this one get 5? If he thought it was better than the one he gave 4 3/4,
you would think.
Right.
Big Dave throwing out the 5s.
Hey, look, that's all I'm saying. I really enjoyed Okada Suzuki. I think that was, well, we're going to talk about the main event here, but that was definitely one of my top 3 matches of the tournament. And I think Dave even said himself that at up to that point, that was the best match of the tournament.
It was great, man. Fucking Suzuki just teeing off on him. Woo! Good Lord. All right, so now we got a main event, don't we? Are we at the main event right now?
We sure do. We are at the G1 Climax 27 final. The A Block winner, Tetsuya Naito, taking on the B Block winner, Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega's second year in the G1 Climax finals. One point I want to make right out of the gate before we even get into the contents of the match. Omega and Naito are such huge stars that they make, and I hate to kind of, you know, kick other companies around WWE, but these two guys are much bigger stars than basically anybody in WWE. I mean, they just have such an aura surrounding them.
Well, here's what I'll say to that. New Japan really knows how to make a star. And that building, I mean, when those first couple notes hit for Naito's theme, that place became unglued.
I turned the volume up on my surround sound so high.
It was nice. I mean, the running joke with me not getting Naito. Well,
did he have those LIJ handcuffs on here, Damon?
Let me tell you, there were no fucking handcuffs to be found. That place became unglued. And in that same breath, Kenny Omega, man. Talk about a fucking star. Talk about a star. That felt like a main event. That felt like a main event with that building rocking. And being in that building, I know that place can get loud. And it doesn't always necessarily come across on the television set. But it came across on the television set, and I'm sure it was even louder for the people that were there.
Absolutely.
Live. They came unglued. They were ready to rock and roll with those two. And that slow burn that New Japan does paid off big time for a lot of those people that were sitting in Zuma Hall.
But like, who's as big of a star as these two guys outside of New Japan?
Well,
like
here's
it has
the thing.
That it same star quality surrounding them.
To me, it's what you define as a star. Like, I'm sure there are more people who know who, and again, I'm just throwing out a name, Roman Reigns is.
Sure,
right?
but boy, I mean, he doesn't feel larger than life like these two guys do. Like, the only guy that I can think of is Lesnar, maybe, that feels like larger than life, something special when he makes his way to the ring.
Within the world of pro wrestling stardom, I think that you know what I mean? Like, if you're talking about that self-contained bubble, but I think the WWE, just the juggernaut that they are, I think more people know who Roman Reigns is or John Cena or whatever. So if that's what you mean by a star, I think obviously the WWE machine is far well ahead.
When you listen to their to their crowd reactions, though, with that, like, I don't hear anything what we heard for the entrances of Naito and Omega over there for anyone
within the world of pro wrestling. I truly believe that you are absolutely correct. But again, it really depends on your definition of what star means. Within the world of pro wrestling, I don't think there's two hotter guys right now in the fucking business.
No.
Right? Crowd reaction, buzz, talent, superstar, fucking aura. Again, if we're talking about being a star, you know, walking down the street, truth be told, not many people are going to fucking know who Kenny Omega is, as opposed to John Cena or Roman Reigns. Now, that being said, you know, you hear about Omega and how he sells out fucking buildings in Chicago in seconds, right?
Yeah, that I think it's like over 6,000. I
don't know what the number is. I want to say it's three. I'm going to say three.
No, I thought it was higher than that, but
you might be right. I don't know. But that's significant. Those tickets went fucking fast. So again, within the pro wrestling world, which is, again, it is a self-contained bubble, Kenny Omega is red hot. He's a star, absolutely, no doubt, hands down. Outside of pro wrestling, it's debatable. All right. Yes.
What did you think of the way this match started out with the false lockups?
Well, two heels, you know, two smart alecky heels.
And they did that last year too, but not they didn't drag it out as long.
Yeah, I tell you what, this match was dangerous to me. There were a lot of times where I'm just like, oh fucking Christ, they're gonna kill each other.
Can we talk about the pile driver right away?
Yeah, do it. Go for it. Going on the table, right? Yeah.
That pile driver, when Naito got him up on the table, and it looks so nasty. Like, I just cringed when I saw that, because Omega's head looked like it hit the edge of the table, and just such an awkward place.
Yeah, it looked like the balance was a little off, and Naito came down just to the, I guess, to the left of it. And Omega just nicked his head right on the edge, it felt like. And then keep in mind, you're landing on the concrete at that point too, with all the junction boxes and all the wiring that's there for the table. That was a pretty fucking scary spot. And then that's the next one that had me like, oh boy, was that, you know, they're doing the balancing act on the top rope, and a little slippage, and it looked like Naito went face first right into the fucking post. Christ almighty, the balance, they better get it together, because they're gonna fall off the edge of the goddamn ring.
There's another spot that I particularly enjoyed, where I think Omega was about to give Naito like a power bomb off the top rope, but Naito turned it into the Frankensteiner. That was beautiful.
And again, I'll say it again, there's no one better in this business than Kenny Omega when he does that ragdoll sell. And he just fucking just lets his body fly. Oh, and did he get some air on that? Oh, and the crowd, woo, they went nuts. There was this couple in the front row. They were wearing Lion Mark t-shirts first, but then they changed it to, both of them changed into Naito Casino shirts, right? They jumped out of their seats when that fucking spot happened. They were into it. And so was I. Yeah, there were some dangerous fucking moments in that match. Moments where you're like, "Ooh wee," and again, last 5 minutes, off the charts. The counters to the Destinos, the counters to the One Winged Angel, Listen, these two guys are fucking these four guys in that promotion: Omega, Naito, Okada. I mean, can you go fucking wrong with these guys?
No, damn.
Let's put it this way:
go ahead.
The four guys that are up at the top in those semifinal matches are the four guys that needed to be in the four. You know, there's no mistake that those four guys that were in the semifinals going into the finals were absolutely deserved to be there. No fucking doubt. Unbelievable.
And boy, did we, you know, overthink things as usual. I mean, yeah. I remember tweeting out at the beginning of the tournament, like, I don't think that this final is as obvious as everyone thinks it is. And enough, sometimes the most obvious choice is the best one.
What they do is, at the end of the day, you look back at it and you're like, oh, of course, this is what it is. But the path that leads you to it, there's plenty of moments of self-doubt, right? There's plenty of moments where you're doubting yourself of, could Kota Ibushi really fucking do this? Could they go with Hiroshi Tanahashi? I mean, I remember reading posts on Reddit and it's like, hey, people are forgetting about fucking Hiroshi Tanahashi. And I'm like, isn't it obvious? We're Kenny Omega and Naito. This is... But all throughout the tournament, there always is those little nuggets of self-doubt. And I'm sure there's lots of people who had Ibushi doing much better than he did. Again, just because they want the payoff. They're still waiting for that Ibushi-Omega payoff. But that's the joy of G1, right? That's the joy of G1. That's why we all watch it and enjoy it so much.
Well, Damon, let me ask you this. I don't know about you. I assume you probably have, but I haven't seen every single G1 Climax final main event. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, in my opinion, this was the best G1 Climax final of the modern era. And like previous to that, my favorite final was probably Okada Nakamura from the Cebu Dome. I think I like this one better.
I mean, it's really difficult to sit here, especially in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
To sit here and say, I mean, all of them are great. I mean, Nakamura, Tanahashi, great. The Okada win, great. And at the Cebu Dome, great.
Yeah. Omega Goto is great.
Great. It's hard for me to sit here and then you can go through past ones. When Nagata's win, I thought was pretty great. Muda's great. Some of Chono's, I'm not the biggest Chono guy in the world. There are a couple of them were pretty fucking great.
Of the modern era, though.
Like, past 5 years, man. Past 5 years is hard to hand wave any of them. It really is. It's hard. I really like Nakamura Tanahashi. Being there live says a lot. That does help give it a boost. Let's not joke around. This match was really great too. It's hard. I don't know. I don't think I can do it right now. Just sit here and tell you which one was the absolute best. But I think to me, Nakamura Tanahashi is probably up there only because I was there live and the energy in the building was pretty tremendous.
Yeah, mine had always been the Okada Nakamura one, just because of the atmosphere and being in the Cebu Dome, but just the electricity in Sumo Hall with these two, like, the two hottest guys in the promotion right now. I mean, it was just a total spectacle. And are you giving this match full marks?
Full marks? I don't see how I can.
Yeah.
Are
we throwing out five again?
giving
them away like candy?
It really is. It feels like it. And that's the challenge that I have. I don't know. See, here's the thing. I don't know if it was really that liberal with the fives this year in the G1s. I've been that asshole that's been just an ass hair shorts.
I think I gave two. I think I gave Elgin and Okada five. I might have to rethink that one though.
No, that's great. Rewatch that. That was a fucking tremendous match.
So was
Omega and fucking Elgin was five. To me, that's five.
That was one of the top three matches of the tournament, in my opinion. And like, if we're going there, what are your what's your top three from this tournament? Let's do that. Top three.
Fuck. Elgin Omega. Suzuki.
Yano.
Suzuki Okada.
Okay.
And then Omega Okada.
I think that those are my top three as well.
Yeah, I would go that. That's where I'm going with this. And I can't put them in order. Don't make me fucking put them in order, because depending upon what day of the week it is. But I think those three match. I'm comfortable in saying those were my favorite of the tournament. Yeah.
And there's like a lot. I don't know about you, but like I feel like I really have to go back and rewatch a lot of these matches that I didn't get the opportunity to rewatch. Like just throwing this one out here, like Ibushi Ishii. I did not rewatch that match yet, and I feel like I really need to.
Great match, right? Or even Ibushi Tanahashi.
Yeah.
To open up the fucking thing.
Right. Another great match. God, what else?
No. That didn't even open it up. What the fuck am I talking about? That was in the middle. Zach and Tanahashi.
Although, to be fair, that did open up the 2015 G1 climax. Yeah, so right. There you go.
All right.
Yeah. Zach Tanahashi, which I think that they just aired on the Access TV show.
Oh really? They're doing that.
Yeah. They're pretty much caught up.
Okay. Nice. All right. So everybody
at least
can
at
watch
the beginning of the G1 climax.
Nice. What a tournament, though. I mean, where would you rank this overall, this year's tournament, compared to? And again, let's just do modern time. Let's do the past 5 years.
So you want to go like 13, 14, 15, 16, 17?
Sounds good.
Oh my God. See, 50. I thought that 2015 was so good. Everybody thinks of 2014 as kind of like the standard bearer.
Yeah.
13 was great though too. Well, you know what? If you're asking me to put them in order, just off the top of my head,
I'm
right
put them
now,
in order. What was your favorite?
My favorite was still 2015. Mm. I got to be honest with you. 2015 is kind of special to me because like that's when this podcast started. Actually,
yeah,
that's when this podcast started during that G1 climax. So like, as far as like sentimental value goes, that one is my favorite.
I'm going to say this one, Colin.
I mean, I'm not going to argue. Like, as far as match quality goes, like, again, yeah. I'm bringing, like, emotions into this. But as far as, like, just sheer match quality, great matches, I'm not going to argue with anyone who puts this at, like, number one of the past 5 years. That's totally fair.
Let that sink in for a second. This is Climax 27. We just finished the best one. and everybody, you know, to a person is going to say G1 Climax is the be all to end all to wrestling tournaments at this point. And there are champion carnivals that have been absolutely tremendous, right? I'm going on the record here, kids, and saying and again, I'm not going to compare it to champion carnivals because I just don't have the brain capacity to do it right now.
Yeah.
It just ranking G1 climaxes, it's the best one. We just watched the best one. We just finished the best one. How about that? Fucking unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And Damon, we still have, we've got September, October, November. We've still got like three, at least three big shows to look forward to that, you know, have a lot of potential great matchups coming. So 2017's not over yet, kids.
I don't think my heart could take it.
Well, you are getting up there.
That's that. No doubt about that. I'm 40-something years old, and I'm seeing the best pro wrestling I've ever seen in my life. Unbelievable.
And not only that, but like you're watching it on a streaming service. With English commentary. I mean, if somebody told you like 20 years ago that you were going to have access to this.
Yeah. It is kind of weird. I mean, I know the old timers that are listening to this show are kind of feeling the same thing I am. And fucking amazing. You guys don't know how lucky you fucking got it. Now get the fuck off my lawn.
Well.
And turn MASH back on. Why don't you?
There you have it, folks. That is our review of NJPW's G1 Climax 27 from earlier this morning. Just again, we can't say enough about how great this tournament was, and certainly a lot of matches that I want to go back and rewatch, and I'm sure Damon wants to go back and rewatch. And the good news is, it's all there for our disposal at njpwworld.com. Only $9.99 yen a month. Damon.
I can't think of a better value. I mean, I know we sit here and we're not sponsored by them by any stretch of the imagination, but
no.
I can't imagine a better fucking value. I really can't. For you know, what really turns out to be about $8 American. I know. I remember the days where you would pay 150 or 125 bucks. Was it Nico Nico?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What a fucking nightmare that was.
Ustream.
The Ustream nonsense. My God. What a joy it is to be alive right now. God bless. All right. Enough stroking New Japan's cock, for crying out loud.
So I'm looking at the schedule here, and it looks like the next show is the first Road to Destruction show, which takes place on Tuesday, September 5th. So we've got a little bit of a break, a hiatus, if you will.
Wow. What are we going to talk about?
I think that's the perfect time to maybe do a little Q&A show that we promised a few weeks ago that we never did.
That's right. That's not a bad idea. So maybe next week we do that. Don't we have our 100th show coming up around the corner?
Yeah, our 100th show.
I think this is the 97th show or 98th?
Yeah, this show, as a matter of fact, is going to be number 97.
All right.
Yeah, 97.
Wow. Okay. 100 shows coming right around the corner. That'll be a celebration.
Three more weeks, folks. We reached that big milestone, 100 episodes. Can you believe it?
We're drinking that show, right?
Oh, we're doing some kind of substance on the air during that show. That's for sure.
We're having a fucking party for 100. Come on. Celebrate. All right. Excellent job by you, Colin Miller. Let's put a bow on this fucker.
All righty. So, folks, thank you once again for listening each and every week to Damon and I sit down and have a conversation about New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's essentially what this podcast is, and we are so happy that you guys are in the back seat along for the ride, listening to our inane ramblings. Remember,
yeah, stop making out back there, kid.
Remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com, your one-stop shop for all things PuroCast, links to social media, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, and pretty soon, keep an eye on social media. I'm in the works of getting some official PuroCast t-shirts printed up. I will definitely keep everybody on the loop with that, and we're going to get a little shop set up, and hopefully you'll be, by holiday time, you'll be wearing a nice comfy New Japan PuroCast t-shirt with a button on it to boot.
I'll tell you what, dreams can come true. Dreams can come true.
They certainly can. And of course, voicesofwrestling.com, they have a podcast for every palate, if you will, and we are very proud to be a part of their great podcasting network, usually up there every Monday afternoon. So definitely no shortage of ways to listen to the PuroCast. So we want to thank the listeners. We want to thank Kevin Kelly once again for always giving us the old shout out, the old rub on a lot of these G1 Climax shows. Thank you for that, sir. And just lots of great things coming, not only for New Japan, but for the PuroCast down the road. Damon, before you wrap this up, any final words?
Final words. No, I think you said it perfectly. Thank you, Kevin Kelly. Thank you to all of our listeners. Again, we get a lot of new listeners right around G1. So if you're new, welcome. Enjoy the show and go back on our archives and listen to past ones. Hopefully they will entertain you. And nope, that's about it for me. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. Thanks.
All righty. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys right here next week for episode number 98 of New Japan PuroCast.